Thank you. Good morning. Happy holidays. Good morning. I just want to take this time to explain a little bit on why Mr. Bingo is not here. I appreciate his grace and his willingness to do this for me today, a special day. I know most of you have a four-day weekend, so I prepared a two-hour sermon, and so I can't do it with my translation. No, I really have a lot to share with you, and the topic is such that it's very important that I share with you continually. And yet I knew that it would be unfair for the interpreter to be just put on the spot as I speak freely, that he doesn't have tool to work with him, and so I went ahead and prepared two sermons today, one in English and one in Chinese, fully printed, and so he has a copy of that. And I just pray that the spirit of freedom will really allow me to do that freedom to share his message with you clearly today. And as you look up the book of Matthew on chapter 17, verse 20, I want you to put your thumbs on that verse and turn your pages a little more over to the chapter 19 and look up verse 26. So we're going to read both of the verses together. 在这个时间他们寻找这个圣经章节的时候，我也想请问在座的哪一些人需要有翻译的话呢？高斌那边有这个话筒，那么你们可以去那边拿一个耳机哈，那他会在那边做重声翻译，他有这个中文的稿子。那今天我挣到的内容会比较多一点，所以我谢谢他能跟我配合，就今天比较特殊的，他在下面帮我做重声翻译。 When you look up those verses, and as you find them, would you stand in honor of reading God's word, please? The chapter 17, verse 20 of the book of Matthew, and the verse 26 of chapter 19 of the same book. Are you all ready? He replied, "Because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will be moved. Nothing will be impossible for you." And then chapter 19, verse 26. With Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Being God honor reading of his words. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for today, for this special day, O Lord. I give you thanks for it, because, Lord, you are the one that has made this day. May you make it such a special one that each one of us will hear your message clearly today. That, Lord, you will hear, help us to hear you with the ears we have and listen to it and hear the message you have for us. I just give you thanks for today, and may you bless each one of us. As we sit down, Lord, I pray that you would help us to even kneel down in front of you with our hearts humble and looking, seeking you, O Lord. And may you bless the message and help Bing and me to speak as one, and that we will proclaim your message as one. I give you thanks and praises in Jesus' name. Amen. I start with an easy one, a story, an ancient Chinese fable. And this is a fable that's about an old, dumb man. He is at his age of 90 years old, and he is living in the village that is so far and remote from the city that each time he has to travel far away in order to get anything as food or clothing or other things. And he is living right in front of a big mountain that's about 3,000 feet high and 200 miles wide. Is the name of the two Chinese mountain is Taihan Shan, and it's a very, very big mountain, and all Chinese knows about the name of the mountain. So when you hear about the mountain, it's huge. And every day he has to travel to the next village by walking so many hours in order to see the next family. And that alone, on a periodic basis, he had to go and get those food and items, and it take him days to travel to the next city. And so one day this old man think about an idea. He said, I'm going to move the mountain. And the villagers that live nearby laughed at him, saying, are you kidding? You are at your 90-year-old man, and this is a mountain that's 200 miles wide, 3,000 feet high, and you are going to move the mountain? And the old man said, yes, I'm going to. I have my son, and I have my grandson. And altogether, he had three people that were able to carry the rocks with the barrels that they have. And the villagers still laughed at him and said, okay, if you begin the calculations, you will figure out how long it's going to take to remove that mountain. And the old man said, yes, we are going to. And they began digging and moving and shoveling and doing all the things necessary to move that mountain. At the same time, the old man told those people and said, you know why I believe that mountain will be moved? Because I have son and I have grandson. And my son and my grandson, we are going to have sons and their grandsons, yet the mountain will never grow. That's an ancient Chinese fable that tells us the simple truth that if a man have enough faith and he is willing to go beyond that step to carry out his faith, there is always a way to do it. And at the end, that mountain was moved with many, many generations of their family. These are words that we just read in verse 17 and 20 and the 19 of 26 of the book of Matthew about moving the mountain. If we can trust the words that came from the Chinese ancient fable and knowing that something went past and it tells us a story and tells us a reason why that story will happen, can we not trust God's words for what he says? He made it even more simpler. He didn't say, you go dig and bring a shovel and do all of this. He said, you what? Speak to the mountain. You speak to the mountain and you say, move here and it will be here. And you say, you move there and the mountain will be there. It takes a lot of faith to believe in God's words, but that's what it says here in the Bible. And we believe that every word in the Bible is true, don't we? Amen. The year of 2001 is coming to an end. And this is the last Sunday of year 2001 and the second to the last day of the year 2001. And once the time elapsed, it's gone. You are not going to have this day anymore. The year of 2001 is gone. What have you accomplished in the weight of God's will for you? Not necessarily so much of what you think and what you desired in your plans, but in the past year, what God has called you to do and that you have been a part of that, and you can take pride of the accomplishment you have accomplished through the strength of God. If we think about questions like this, we would have better hope of thinking, okay, year 2001 is coming to an end, but we are going to have year 2002. What are your New Year's resolution for the year 2002? Many people at this time of the year will begin to make all kinds of New Year resolutions, and it is important that we think about these things in our mind, because we know the old saying says that if you fail to plan, that you will plan to fail. But what kind of plans should we plan? What kind of things should we keep in our mind in order to do things that will glorify God in the new year of 2002? We have to take His words into our plan. We have to read His words, don't we? You may say that in the year of 2001 that there are so many things that I have long wanted to accomplish that I didn't do, and then in year 2002 I want to do that. You may say that it's impossible for someone to finish reading the whole Bible within the year. Someone just did. You may think that it's impossible for someone to serve in many committees and yet still do the work effectively. Well, someone just did. And you may have thought that for a church of our size that we couldn't be carrying out the many ministries that we are doing right now. Well, we as a team just did. in the year of 2001. You may have thought that there are many people that were deaf that couldn't hear, many people that were handicapped that couldn't walk, and many people that lost their limbs and their legs, that they couldn't do anything in their lives. Well, many of these people have just become famous speakers. Many of those that have just become Olympic winners and won the Olympic gold. And many of the things that you may have thought being impossible were possible humanly, let alone spiritually. A company name called Polaroid, I'm sure most of you know. It's a household name. It's a big, gigantic, multi-billion company that existed on this earth for generations. And it's bigger than Yahoo. It's bigger than Amazon, or maybe the two combined. It's a gigantic company that people wouldn't think it's possible for it to go bankrupt. Well, it just did in year 2001. Why do I bring up that subject? Because of the company having just a $1 billion debt that causes the multi-billion dollar company to fail. But the founder of that company is called Edwin Land. He is a smart guy, genius, and he came up with a lot of inventions. In fact, he was only second to Thomas Edison, and he held 535 patents and inventions in his lifetime. He died in the year of 1991, and he died a great person. Many people wrote biographies for him, and one of the books is called Insisting on the Impossible. And that's the topic that I picked for today, not so much to honor his name or for that story, but what it says is what we thought as being possible or impossible truly are not what is possible or what is impossible in the eyes of our Lord. The things that we thought being possible could become impossible if we don't have that kind of belief like that old dumb man. Because if I were going to be like the villagers living around him, I would say he was dumb because he was at his high age and he had only one son and only one grandson. But he chose to do that because of the drive that he has within him, that he believes the things were out of logic, that there is growth versus a non-growth, that something is going to overcome by time. The spiritual application of that is that we as a believer all believe that it takes just a seed faith for us to grow in the Lord. He did not require us a whole lot. God really does not require us a whole lot to accomplish His task. All He requires of us is to have a faith that is as small as the mustard seed. Yet, when you are willing to offer that seed to God, He is going to turn that seed and change the nature entirely, that it becomes something that's becoming something that's you couldn't believe the power of that seed. When it grow and it grow into a plant, that even the whole mountain will not be able to stop it. Okay, that growth of the seed is natural and it's going to go. And it's going to be going upwards to such an extent that you wouldn't believe a little faith, a little small seed like a mustard seed can do. Yet we know that with any seed, the outcome of that seed is actually determined before you plant it. Meaning the shape of the tree, the leaves of the tree, the trunks of the tree, the stems of the tree, everything has been determined even in that seed. If you allow that seed to grow, it doesn't grow to where it's supposed to be. But if you stop it, you can stop it humanly. The seed faith is an important concept that Jesus says that He wants us to have that faith like a seed. But if we are willing to put our faith into an action that He would, and allow it to be released to God, He would change the nature of that seed. And so seed faith is an important concept for us to master, and we can understand it by comparing some of the things that we live in our daily worlds and think, okay, these are things that are possible based on all of the understanding and the things that we have, and we draw to a conclusion that this is possible. If there are things that we would see and we would look and say, okay, based on all of the things that we have gathered so far, we don't think it's impossible. So what is impossible, we present to God. What is possible, we'll take it on to ourselves. The faith that we have, we need to allow it to continually grow. A little faith, like a mustard seed, can grow like a water. There is a saying that says, water dripping day by day wears the hardest rock away. That's the same concept that old man had. He knew that so long as he continually do what he's supposed to do, that constant dripping will wear through the rocks. And the faith that we have in God is not so much on what we can do as a person or what we can do as a congregation to do it gradually. We will do it humanly and we will do it gradually, but it's us allowing God to take on that seed and we release it to Him and let Him do say, okay, God, this is the faith that we have and we place it in front of You and You do what You want it to. And as we allow that to happen, then God is going to turn that nature of that little seed into something that we wouldn't be able to believe. The prayer moments that I have from day to day, it may have gone noticed. The things that you have been doing that you thought were important may have gone unnoticed. But don't worry about that. Keep on doing it. Keep on praying. And keep on growing is the next thing that I wanted to say. The miracles will come to pass only if we pray to God and ask that happen. But if we don't allow that faith to grow by keeping praying and trusting in Him on what He wants us to do, then we would have lost that measure of faith like I preached last time. If we don't have a speedometer, if we don't have a measure as we drive, you don't know how far you go. If you don't have the heart rate chart, you don't know how far you have exercised. Well, if we don't have faith to measure our growth in Christ, then we don't know where we are in our walk with Christ. And the faith is resident in us. It's us taking on that faith, but that faith we will have to place in God and allow Him to grow it. God says that the faith will come alive by hearing God's word in the book of Romans. And God says that you can apply your faith to see your daily needs met. If you have this need and as you take on and say, okay, I'm able to handle that, it's possible for me to do it on my own strength, then you can do it. But it's not so much of a faith challenging issue because you thought it's possible. What is impossible are the things that you take on, the daily needs you have, and you say, I can't balance the checkbook. I can't face the job situation that I'm facing right now. I don't know how to deal with this family issue. I don't know how to talk to this dear friends that I have next to my office, and because he or she is feeling some major problems, and I can't do it. It's impossible for me to help in any one of these issues. What am I going to do? It's the things that you think that are impossible that you bring to God to make it possible. The things about faith is such an important thing that we could learn as a Christian, and yet oftentimes it's easier for us to understand it through an example. And so I'm going to take on the story of Gideon and share with you on what happened in his life. And all of these are found in the book of Judges of chapter 6. And if you have the Bible with you, you're welcome to turn to the book of Judges of chapter 6 and chapter 7. We all know that Gideon, many of you are very familiar with the story. But the focus of the story that I want to share with you today is his call to lead God's army to fight the Midianites. And if you recall that he belongs to the family clan of Manasseh. And Manasseh is the smallest of the whole tribe. And Gideon is the youngest of the child in the family. And when God called him to lead his mighty army to fight the Midianites, what did he say? He said, "I am the youngest of the family, and my family is the smallest in the tribe." But the kind of army that he has to fight are Midianites. And the way that Midianites work is when they come to you, they come to you like a locust, is the word that they use. You can't count the number of soldiers that meet the that Gideon's army has to face. We all know how many that he has in terms of number of soldiers wanting to fight with him and fight for the Lord. And he has 32,000 people to begin with. Not too bad of a number, but it was nowhere near the number of Midianites. We don't know exactly how many there were. We just know that it was countless. But the Lord let him make a decision to either take on those number of people to fight the 32,000 or let go some of them. And God says he let him do with 20,000 people gone, 12,000 would be the next number of people for him to have, and wanted to see if they do it out of their own strength or do they do it out of their faith in Jehovah, their Lord. And he let the people go for 20,000 of them and still kept 12,000 people. Not too bad a number to work with when you are facing countless of enemies. But God still didn't allow him to take on that 12,000 people. He let go a lot more people and let him have, how many? 300. 300 was the number of people that he had all together to fight an army that is countless. It's not just the army that is countless, it's the tents that they set up were countless. That's what the Bible says. So the number of people were multitude. But all it takes is his willingness to say, "Okay, God, it's your time and it's your way of fighting the enemies and not mine." He asked God to give him signs after signs to confirm that it was indeed him who is going to go with him and fight the Lord. So there are 4 points that I want to share with you out of this story that I briefly described to you, that in order to carry out God's task, that the number one thing we must do is that we need to separate ourselves. We need to separate ourselves. We need to say, "Okay, God, I am here and I'm available. Here I am. Use me." Like I said, it says, "Send me. Here I am." The chapter 2, verse 9 of Peter, 1 Peter says clearly that we are to be separated and to serve God if we were going to accomplish His purpose. And the book of John 15:15 says that we are the chosen friends of Jesus Christ. We are the ones that are chosen, that are separated, that are to serve God for His purpose. And for Gideon, he is the one that separates himself, that he says, okay, I am not worthy, I'm not able, I'm not strong enough, I'm the youngest, and yet, okay, if you want me to, give me signs. And God did. And that's all it takes for him to carry out God's task. The second thing is that God chooses the weak. Oftentimes, it's the weakest person and not the strongest one. The reason that he wants to do that is so that people will see it's truly his glory and truly is his way of accomplishing the task. He does not necessarily choose the one that is most talented, that's most capable. He chose the one that could be the least noticed. The third point that I could share with you is that he did not want the people to work out of their own powers and their own talents, but do it out of his spirit. And this can be verified in the book of Isaiah of chapter 4, verse 6, that God didn't want Isaiah, and that God's will is for us as believers in him to trust in his spirit rather than trust on our own strength and our own talents. And then the fourth point that I can learn from this story that I want to share with you is that we need to watch out for God's signs. There are ways that God is going to reveal to you his will, and that he will confirm to you what you ought to do and what you ought not to do. And the things that we would have to take on is the believing in him, his will for us, and that we separate ourselves and wanted to say, okay, God, use us, and we are not going to use it because we are able or because we are strong enough, but that we believe that God, you are the one that only do the impossible, not just the possible. This is the topic that I want to share with you, and it's a faith issue that each one of us as Christians would have to face. What we insist on would produce the result of what we have. Do we insist on what is impossible, or do we just do what is possible? Do we as Christians place our faith in God and let him take on the shape of that and the nature of that sea faith and turn it into something that he wanted to become? In a little bit, as time approaches 12, I'm going to open an invitation for you, and I'm closing this early today because I have some more things to say in a little bit. But the faith issue is a very important subject for us to learn. And I want you to stand at this time as you listen carefully to what God's voice is, what he has in his mind for you for the year of 2002. What kind of New Year resolution that you will want to make in line with God's will? What are the kind of faith that we individually and corporately can take to trust God and to believe what he wants us to do?